Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Gloria Key, Vice President of Product Management at Model N. For 15 years at Model N, she has spent her time focused on product management and with an in-depth understanding of implementing and designing innovative software across a variety of business challenges. She is committed to product innovation and development within the high-tech industry. Welcome to the podcast, Gloria.
Thank you, Daniel.
So first, can you tell us what brought you to Model N?
Yeah, sure. I've been with Model N for a long time. I started off deep in the trenches of implementing Model N as a BA, ironically, in our life sciences vertical. And then I had the opportunity to switch over halfway through my career to move into high tech. And that's where I've largely spent my time through those opportunities that I've had with Model N. I've been able to pick up quite a bit along the way in terms of understanding the high tech industry, learning how it's reliant on Model N software, why Model N software is so critical in its success, but also staying in lockstep and listening to our customers and understanding and validating the challenges they're facing on a daily basis at both the micro and macro level. We tend to pay special attention to the economics and foreign policies that are influencing how the semiconductor industry behaves. And through that, Model N is able to provide revenue optimization and compliance solutions to these high-tech innovators.
And how do you work with the semiconductor industry specifically?
I would say it's going to be interesting, to say the least. I think what has happened with the U.S. and China technical Cold War is forcing manufacturers to really navigate some complex trade restrictions that have been put in place. As we become an even more global society, and as these multinational companies have reliance on a global supply chain, national security is and remains a top priority for the United States and for many of its allies. And this is especially true when we look back at the Huawei scandal back in 2019. We've seen both US and Europe follow a de-risk and diversify without decoupling type of approach to try to make sure that they close loopholes in the sanctions over AI chip exports. I would say that also through these regulations that the U.S. has put in place, through its move to create the CHIPS Act, the U.S. has definitely put a strain on China, and as a result, has influenced other countries to follow suit. We've seen with recently Japan and Netherlands, where they've been able to enact their own rules to prevent China from having access to high-end chip-making technology and machinery. And as we go through all of that, I also read recently, the U.S. has proposed a CHIP4 alliance with Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan to try to create an East Asian alliance to ensure that the semiconductor supply chain is more resilient. And this is really interesting because these types of rules and moves that are being put in place really put the pressure on China to figure out what their next steps is. And we've seen the outcome of their next steps. We've seen that Beijing has been doubling down on its investments. The Chinese government has poured $36 billion into adding new semiconductor production, which is more than the rest of the world combined for legacy chips. They are outpacing many of the technology forecasts from what, American intelligence and Western industry analysis originally forecasted. And as China moves to try to gain self-sufficiency, we also know that these restrictions that the U.S. has influenced is not going to make China's path any easier, because China does have a dependency on Western chip making equipment, and they may end up leading in the legacy chip manufacturing, but they're not leading or able to lead when it comes to new and advanced technology. And I think as an outcome of that, when we look forward over the next 5 to 10 years, what I think will happen is you'll start to see many of the countries who have the ability to create chips to bring it back near shore to start manufacturing their own chips to create alliances that would make sure that they can still advance globally, but do it in a way that allows them to not sacrifice the concerns that they have around national security.
Right. Yeah, I agree completely. It's not just a war of words. So many actions are taking place, and we are escalating. So, what strategies can semiconductor manufacturers employ to navigate the geopolitical challenges and trade restrictions while remaining competitive?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the US manufacturers must diversify their supply chains to reduce their dependence on single sources. They need to invest in cutting-edge R&D, which is crucial to stay ahead in areas like AI and advanced computing. They definitely need to collaborate with their allies and partners to help create more resilient semiconductor ecosystems. And to add to that, they definitely need to also look at sustainability, as that continues to be a key area where consumers demand a level of sustainability. Semiconductor companies who often create parts that drive innovation, that drives eco-conservation through, for example, electric cars. Consumers will also be looking at how these companies are going to also create more sustainability in terms of how they produce their products, and that is going to be definitely an area of staying competitive.
Right. So in the current volatile market, how can semiconductor companies ensure they maintain profitability and growth?
I would say that manufacturers need advanced analytics to be able to quickly address and respond to the market shifts and pricing pressures that we see. The semiconductor space is very unique because it has products with extremely short life cycles. And so being able to have processes that allow them to quickly shift their investments and strategies and understand how their channel is evolving is extremely important. They'll need very quick times to quote. They need to invest in channel programs that are unique to each channel. The one-size-fits-all approach is no longer an effective way to reach their market. And so they are going to have to get really creative and be able to ensure that every aspect of their business that deals with the supply chain is one that can easily lift and shift. And so in order to do that, they'll also need to continue to improve their channel partner relationships, ensure that there is a level of data sharing that they can share amongst each other to help unlock new revenue opportunities. And there's also a great opportunity around implementing AI-driven tools that not only help drive operational efficiency, but can help them enhance their decision-making process.
Interesting. How can companies in the semiconductor space, in the semiconductor ecosystem, effectively diversify their supply chains to mitigate risks?
I think that companies in the semiconductor space can effectively diversify their supply chains to lower their risk. It really comes towards ensuring that they look at their investments in terms of talent, trying to increase and partner with their local universities, especially in the US, in terms of increasing investments in STEM education and the workforce for development programs that are critical in being able to create nearshore opportunities for the semiconductor business is going to be extremely important. Companies can also explore creative approaches to try to attract and retain skilled workers in a competitive market, right? For many years, we've gone globally to try to find that talent. And so the investment into the education system, starting as early as elementary and high school level, and making sure that they partner with local universities is going to be critical to be able to fill in some of the talent shortfalls that we've seen for some of the nearshore goals that we have. They'll definitely also need to create diversification in terms of being able to source from multiple regions and manufacturing hubs So as they start thinking about where should they create fabrications, they'll look beyond where we've typically gone, which is China, and start looking at other countries around the world where we can put up a manufacturing plant. And also, lastly, I would say that modern organizations must utilize advanced technologies such as AI or market intelligence so that they can have data-driven insights in the space to help address some of the talent gap issues that they've seen. Because not all of it can just be filled with people. There's an opportunity where AI possibly can help fill some of those needs as well.
Right. And looking forward, what innovations or technological advancements do you believe will be crucial for semiconductor manufacturers to stay ahead?
It's really interesting. I think the current semiconductor industry size is roughly 600 billion, and there are projections that I've read in just a few articles where they suspect that it's going to become about $1 trillion by the end of the decade, and that's a tremendous amount of growth. I think technological advancements in AI, IoT, and 5G are really the areas of new frontiers that demand complex chips that are not only faster but power efficient. They're able to handle a immense amount of data, and that shift is not just about being able to keep up with these trends, but also making sure that it powers the next wave of technological evolution, I would say. And so when we look at, what other innovations, I think things that we've talked about, sustainable energy solutions, making sure that semiconductors are paying attention to how do they find that right balance in energy consumption, because we know that semiconductor production has a tremendous weight on the type of energy it consumes. Figuring out how to find that right balance in terms of environmental benefits without sacrificing the type of technology it can provide is going to be key. We've seen the semiconductor industry also shift in terms from silicon to compound-based semiconductors. And, for those who aren't aware, compound semiconductors are made from two or more elements, right? And so it has given a bit of an edge where we've seen higher power efficiency and faster operation speeds that we might have not historically seen.
So, final question, Gloria. How do customers normally engage with Model N?
Yeah, a number of our modeling customers can engage with Model N through our website. You can also find us at industry high-tech conferences as well. We're usually there. And we do have a contact email that you can find on our website.
Great. Great conversation, Gloria. Appreciate it. And it's a pleasure to meet you, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
It was nice meeting you too, Daniel. Have a great day.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.